This is Vermont Edition. I'm Rick Zingari in for Jane Lindholm. Prepare to be overwhelmed by the grandeur of Yosemite when you walk into the St. Johnsbury Athenaeum. The library, art gallery, and museum is a fixture in town, and within the building, Albert Bierstadt's painting, The Domes of Yosemite, is a striking piece in the collection. But this painting is now nearly 150 years old, and it's showing its age. Host Jane Lindholm spoke with Athenaeum director Bob Jolly recently to talk about the painting and what it needs to be taken down and sent away for repairs.
For people who haven't seen this painting in its place in the Athenaeum, describe what you walk into and see and how it feels to be in the room.
It's on the back wall of the gallery, so you're about 40 feet away from it, but the painting is huge. It's 9.5 feet tall and 15 feet wide, and it's looking into Yosemite Valley from the location. It's about halfway up Yosemite Falls, so you're looking at this grand view down into the valley from an elevated point of view. So it's physically very big, and then the view that it presents is of a wide open valley with Yosemite Falls on one side and Half Dome on the other, and then other peaks across the range.
And it's sort of photorealism. So does it feel like an immersive experience when you're standing there looking at it?
It does. And it has this really curious quality. And we will have people do this. You'll make a cup of your two hands, put them in front of your face. So you're looking through your mostly closed fist. And you look at the painting, and it becomes three-dimensional. It's a very odd quality.
And people do that? Like they're looking through binoculars almost?
Yes. It's almost like you're pretending, like you're a child, and you're looking through your fists at, you know, pretending you're seeing something far away. But it has a very strange quality when you look at it. But it is a very funny phenomenon.
Now, Albert Bierstadt was born in Germany, and he was raised on the East Coast. So how did he come to have what clearly is an affection for this Western landscape?
Though a lot of the Hudson River painters, so-called, and it was a derogatory term when it was first applied, as if to say, you guys just paint the first thing you see when you float up the river. A lot of those painters did that. They painted in New York and the environs, but they were going west essentially as the country was. So Thomas Moran, for instance, is as well known for his Colorado paintings as Bierstadt is for California paintings, but they were really just following the trend of this westward migration. And I think they were so astonished by the sights there, they really wanted to capture them, both because they're grand, but also to show them to people on the East Coast, as if to say, you won't believe what's out there.
Bierstadt painted this in 1867, I believe, right?
Yes.
So how did it come to be in the Athenaeum's collection?
That is a curious story. It was commissioned for a financier in Norwalk, Connecticut, LeGrand Lockwood, and it was in his house, and for all intents and purposes, that's where it was going to stay. He, LeGrand Lockwood, became bankrupt in the gold devaluation in 1869. He actually dies, probably of the related stress, in 1872. Horace Fairbanks is building the Athenaeum. The library was completed in 1871. It took 2 years to build the gallery. And he, because he was in New York a lot, I think heard about this painting was going to become available through LeGrand Lockwood's estate, and built what we believe he built the back wall to hold this painting. And I've often wondered, why didn't it stay closer to New York City or southwestern Connecticut? It's so big, I suspect Fairbanks wasn't competing with a lot of people to buy the painting. It's so big, it wasn't going to fit everywhere. So I think he was completing his collection. This was obviously going to be the centerpiece of the collection, but it's essentially an accident that it came here.
How much did he have to pay for it? It might have been devalued if he didn't have to compete very hard, but...
Yes, he also got an excellent bargain. He paid $5,100. LeGrand Lockwood had paid $25,000.
Oh, wow.
So, yep, he was a good business person as well. And it was either a Boston or a New York paper that said something like, disparagingly, oh, it will astonish the natives. That's how they refer to those of us who were up here then, leaving the environs of civilization and going to God knows where.
But since the 1870s, it's been in St. Johnsbury, and it's been in the Athenaeum, and now it needs some work. What's been happening to the painting?
I guess I would basically say, if you use the car analogy, it's going in to fix the timing belt before the timing belt breaks and you're stranded. It'll be 150 years old next year. It is a very large, single piece of canvas. It needs to be backed to support the original canvas. It's been standing in its frame since it came here in and went on display in 1873. And it's had work over the years. The varnish has been removed and replaced. It's had a bit of inpainting. The stretcher has been adjusted, so it's had work over the years. But this is essentially, you know, we've got to do major work on it so that it looks great for the next 75 years.
But just to do these repairs is going to cost 20 times what Horace Fairbanks paid for this painting more than 100 years ago. Now, of course, we have inflation, but this is just for the repairs, $100,000. How are you going to pay for that?
It will take a lot of fundraising. It will take a direct appeal to some of our supporters who like the Athenaeum and understand our mission and support the works that are here. We will be doing a very broad-based campaign because this is something that is not certainly in our operating budget. So it's just a huge fundraising undertaking, and we've done this periodically. All of the trustees who have been here and the directors have raised money over the years for different conservation projects. This happens to be the single biggest one we'll take on.
For now, though, people can still see this painting. It's not gone.
Yes, and it's important to make that point. It should be here for more than another year for two reasons. Number one, we have to raise the money. We can't simply send it out and incur the debt and then figure out how to finance it. But also, we want it to leave here in this building, which is not climate controlled, in a period, and that would be probably October, when it's most like the conservation studio it's going to. So we would like the humidity to be low and the temperature to be comfortable for people, which is also very comfortable for paintings. So it'll be here probably until October or November of 2017. So it is on display. It is pulled away from the wall so the conservators could get behind it. And we're going to leave it in that position because it sort of helps with the fundraising message. But it is going to be here for another year.
And then it just gets, what, rolled up? I mean, how do you deal with something that's that big?
Yeah, you disassemble it here in the Athenaeum. It will be put on the floor. And the way these very big paintings are handled is they're rolled on a big sonnen tube, which is basically what you pour concrete into for huge buildings. The tube is wrapped with a material which protects the painting. The painting is interleaved, and then the painting is literally rolled around this gigantic tube, and then sort of a protective layer is put over the entire painting, and then out it goes.
Oh, man, that would make me so nervous if I had to watch that process.
It will make me very nervous. When we moved the painting away from the wall, I thought, oh, I should call the media and I should invite people to see this. And then I said, no, I should wait until it's done. And then tell people it's moved. What I didn't want was great photographs of it having a problem.
Right. So we shouldn't expect a big media scrum at the rolling party either.
At the rolling party, because by then it'll be safe. When it's literally coming out of its frame and it's extremely nerve-wracking, once it's down on the floor and it's been protected from the issues that it needs to be protected from, then I think it'll be extremely exciting. I mean, literally getting this giant tube out of the building will be a sight to see, but knowing that it's this painting which is leaving and then it will be gone for probably 3 or 4 months, so both leaving and returning would be a pretty exciting thing to see.
Is there any chance that the Athenaeum will get climate control if that's one of the things that's a problem for this painting?
That's the other thing we're working on. While this painting is gone, we will climate control the space that it's coming back to. So ideally, it's coming back in a great condition, and it's going back into a much better space. An old building like this is hard to bring up to, say, newly built museum standards, but we can improve it a lot, and that's our goal. So that's part of the fundraising package, is to climate control the gallery space.
Bob, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Jane. It was a pleasure.
Bob Jolly, director of the St. Johnsbury Athenaeum, talking with VPR's Jane Lindholm. Albert Bierstadt's quite large oil painting, Domes of Yosemite, is still in place at the Athenaeum for at least a year before it goes out for repairs. You can learn more and see photos at vpr.net.